Boker Tov. Happy Friday.
School for you, man.
We were speaking a little bit about the parallels in the language between the story of Yaakov and taking the blessings of Esav, and the story of Yaakov and his experiences with Lavan, and potentially, all of this is a kind of, as you said very nicely, you said that even though it may have been justified, it is, you still need to get a lesson, whenever you do things in a gray way, in a way that's not 100% kosher, even if it's justified, there's still some lesson that must be learned as a result. And a lot of his difficulties with Lavan are quasi-payback for that. Okay. And then we had the two agreements for work. 7 years and 7 years, with marrying Leah and Rachel in the middle within 7 days of each other. So the word number seven is coming up a lot. We said the 7 years of work may be the same as like a servant or a slave.
Yes.
So that seems to be something that was pretty common, to work for 7 years in those times. One of the ironies is that I heard a fascinating thing, that what happens to a slave, according to the Torah, but probably according to other cultures also, what happens to a slave who gives birth, who has children and a wife, in the process of his servitude of the master?
Well, the wife and the children belong to the master.
Yeah, exactly. Aisha bila dati. That's the pasuk in Parsha Mishpatim. So the wife, and then they stay with the master. So I heard, and I was listening to shiur yesterday by the same Rabbi Gad Dishi from Parashah Sari, that he was saying this is one of the subtext to the story, that there is a question. Yaakov is trying to say, I'm not just a slave. I'm a worker who's worked and purchased these rights.
And
Lavan, in his mind, is trying to say, I'm not so sure. Right? The wife and the kids are actually mine. So that seems to be another idea that's going on here. So there is this whole idea of the servitude.
That's why he was running away.
Maybe. So there's a lot of interesting insight here. Okay, pasuk lamed aleph, vayar Adonai. Oh, and then we finish off with. He takes Rachel as a wife, so now he has Rachel and Leah, and each of Rachel and Leah, they have respectively Bilhah and Zilpah. Okay? So, Vayar Adonai kisinu alea. God sees that Leah is hated. Vayiftach et rahmah, Rachel akara. And he opens up her womb. But Rachel was barren.
Yes.
Now, what does it mean that Leah was hated?
That's a big statement.
So it's a big statement, but it's not a big statement. If you look in the Torah, there is the word sinua could mean hated, but when it's talking about wives, it typically just means the less loved wife, not the hated wife. It means she's hated in relation to the other wife who is loved, but it doesn't mean she's hated. It means he just loves the other wife
more.
You see,
he's more
it
more attracted by the other one.
Yeah, you see it in Parashat Ki Tetze, I think. If you go to Parashat Ki Tetze, and the person is he has right, the story of the two wives. One is loved, one is hated. But the Bechor is born to the hated one.
And you still have to give
the double portion to that one. Now in that case, it's not only the sinua is not meaning it doesn't need to be that the wife is hated. It means that the wife, you just like the other one more.
Less desired.
So sinua just means less desired. And it would be hard to say that he hated Leah. He hated Leah for what?
At the end.
At the end, Leah brings all the beracha, yeah. Okay. Vatar Leah batelet ben vatekra shemo Reuven ki amera ki ra'a Adonai be'oni ki ata ye'e havani ishi. So Leah becomes pregnant and gives birth to a boy. Vatikra shemo Reuven, and she called his name Reuven. Ki amera, because she said, God has seen my suffering, because now my husband will love me.
Right. So what is the Reuven could mean to the outside ear, could mean, look, there is a son. But to her, she sees it as, see my pain. Reuven or Ra'aven. He saw my oni. He saw my pain. And because, and we have to pay attention to Le'ah's, the names are going, are giving us insight into Le'ah's mind.
Yes.
Right? So,
the psychology, the
so clearly
study.
She feels very hurt by the fact that she is unloved.
Yes.
And these children are going to be like, they're going to be like a means of coping with all of the suffering that she's going through in her personal relationship.
Not easy. Sisters
to create no, no. Very, very, very. That's why it's asur. I mean, there's one reason. That's one reason.
Even though our we come from two sisters.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not easy. It's what's there is a. Do you know what the word is for a co-wife in the Torah?
No.
Sarata, sadi resh. Tough, hey, sarata. I think it comes, it could, I'm not sure if I'm right, but it could be related to the word for either a tightness or difficulty or pain. I mean, there's an ayin in sa'ar, but sarata is the one who causes her pain. So the co-wife, the word used to define a co-wife seems to already the word also means
instigates,
difficulty.
Instigates.
Yeah, it assumes difficulty. It's not an easy position to be in. Okay, batarod batelet ben batomer kish kishama adonai kisinua anochi vayiten li gam etze vatikra shemo Shimon. So she has a second boy, and she says, because God has heard that I am hated, and therefore He gave me this. And she called his name Shimon. So Shimon comes with Shama because God listened and heard her difficulty.
So fast.
Interesting. So it's very similar to the first boy. The meaning the name is still.
Still, she still has that.
Saw my suffering, heard my suffering.
Even though she had the first boy, she still.
She's still in pain. Yeah. ותרוד ותל בן ותאמר עתה הפעם ילווה אישי אליי כי ילדתי לו שלושה בנים על כן קרא שמו לוי. Now she gives birth again and she says, this time my husband will come to me because I've given him three boys. That's why his name is Levi. Levi as in approach, like Levaya, when you go with the Levaya. So now my husband will approach me because I've given him three boys. That's why. So now she goes from being sad about the past to hopeful about the future, that the husband will start to appreciate her more. And then last son, now I can thank God. And therefore she called his name Yehuda. And she stopped having kids.
Yehuda,
we come from Yehuda. I mean, you come from Yehuda. I come from the.
Oh, yes, you're lady.
I come from the third one. I still. She was still a little bit upset whenever I was born. Okay. So what does this all mean? What are we seeing in the? Well, she starts off sad. She's going through a lot. She starts off sad. By the third son, she becomes hopeful. Fourth son, she's thankful. Could it be?
She knew that he was going. Could be that she knew that he was going to have the 12 tribes. No.
Not according to the Peshat. It's hard to say that.
Because four boys, it's 1/3 of the whole. In such a fast.
No, I mean, first of all, we don't know how they're spaced. The point of this story is to tell us about the kids, right? So it's not going to tell us how many years transpired between each son.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
But so she starts off sad and she becomes hopeful and then she becomes happy at the end and thankful. Now, why is she thankful? So it could be just because, you know,
she was dominating the whole thing. I mean, her sister wasn't having any kids.
Right. So she's thankful.
Four boys, not a joke.
On the one hand, she's thankful because now, though she does not have the love of her husband, she at least has children, which is what her sister is lacking. But I'm thinking, Could it be?
She's also a
You know, look, these people, in those, especially men like Yaakov, having kids was very, very, very important for them.
It was their wealth.
So what do you think it did to the relationship between Yaakov and Rachel as Leah was bearing children right and left?
It shows that
Rachel... We'll see in a second. But just thinking about it from a point, from a modern point of view.
For sure.
It must have put strain on their relationship, right?
No doubt. Because the other sister, she doesn't have any children.
Yeah.
She's jealous. It's very normal.
Right. She becomes jealous. Now also, Yaakov becomes impatient with her.
Yes.
Because who is the problem in the... Who is the barren one? Yaakov or... Rachel. It's not a problem with the man because he's having kids right and left.
Yes, Rachel. That's
so Rachel is now starting to be seen as the weaker, the on... especially in those days, if the wife couldn't bear children, it's not a good thing. I mean, they lose their respect. They lose their self-respect. The husband loses respect for the wife.
Also because the husband was going to give probably time to the child, so he was going to spend more time in the...
Maybe.
In the tent of the
wife that has.
Yeah, because his children, their sons were there to teach them, to guide them.
Right. So could it be that by the end of these four kids, Yaakov started to cling to Leah a little bit more?
Sure, because it shows you.
And could it be that her happiness at the end is because her hopes with Levi actually did start to come true?
Wow.
You know? That she said, maybe my husband will be with me more. And then in by Yehuda, he is with her more. And that's why she's thankful.
Yes.
Adonai.
For sure, he was spending more time.
And then now, what does Rachel see? That Yaakov is now going to Leah. And Rachel gets very, very, very anxious.
She's visited less. She might be visited at night, but during the day, he's spending more time probably with his...
Now, one more question. Do the sisters, Rachel and Leah, know that Lavan had switched them?
Yes.
According to the Midrash?
Yes. But it was the code and the code...
Right, right. That's according to the Midrash. You think according to the Peshat, there's room to say that they didn't know?
There's one... Yes.
Where? Whenever the Reuven comes to the Dudaim.
Yes.
And Leah...
She says, you...
You took my wife, and now you want to take my... You took my husband,
and now you want
to... Now you want to take my Dudaim? And then we're saying, Leah, excuse me, you took Rachel's husband. Why are you saying that? So, but then what does Rachel respond? Lachen, yishkav imach halayla, tachad duda ibenech. Therefore...
I let you take
the husband because seemingly Rachel is accepting the premise that yes, I did take your husband and I took your husband and he liked me more than you, so let me pay you back by letting you sleep with him tonight and then I will at least give me some of these dudaim.
But she was...
So I from think... that story, what does it sound like? That they're both under the assumption that Leah was the married, was the one to get married, and Rachel
was going to come
out. Was the second one, was kind of like the co-wife, was the backup wife. And then Leah gets upset at Rachel because all of a sudden Rachel is beloved more, is loved more from the husband that's really hers in her eyes. Now in the Yaakov's eyes, it's a completely different story. But it also makes sense because why would Leah have assumed that Rachel would be the one? Leah is the older daughter. My father would never marry off the younger daughter before me. So, of course, in Leah's mind, it makes sense
that she was
the main wife. So now, that also provides some color as to the anxieties.
That's right.
Like, Leah, why was she so upset at the beginning? Well, she's so upset at the beginning because she's the main wife. And here comes her younger sister, who is the more beautiful sister. And she's taking the husband, and now the husband doesn't even care about her anymore. Well, I was nice enough to let you marry my husband, but now he loves you even more. That's a big frustration. Wow. And then now that Leah is happy, and maybe Yaakov is starting to go to Leah a little bit more, now Rachel gets very anxious. Very Rachel, ki lo yalada Yaakov.
Very insecure.
Yeah, she sees that she did not give birth to Yaakov. Tekane Rachel ba'achotah. She became jealous of her sister. Vatomer al Yaakov, hava livanim v'im ayin meta anochi. She says to Yaakov, bring me kids, and if not, I will die. See, her language shows a lot of...
She is totally insecure.
Very, very insecure.
Devastated.
Devastated, insecure.
See the sister.
When you speak in this kind of
extreme language. If not, I will die.
She's probably not sound good. The bottom.
Right. Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel, and Yaakov gets angry with Rachel. Vayomer atachat Elohim anochi. Am I instead of God? Asher mana mimech b'rivaten, who stopped from you having kids? Now Chachamim actually criticized Yaakov for being insensitive to Rachel. Right.
So that shows maybe also that at that point he was maybe more attached to
Leah. Maybe. I mean, you could see the strain in the relationship here. It's not a hard thing
to
see.
So the cards, as you said, the position changed totally.
Yeah. Leah seems to be becoming more beloved. Leah is at least he's
not sensitive right now with Rachel. And with this phrase.
Right. It seems like he's a little bit frustrated with her. She's starting to act up out of her jealousy.
This is it.
And the husband doesn't want a wife who's, you know, always moping around and angry and upset and jealous. And it's for a husband to have to experience that. Yes. For Yaakov to have, it probably did strain their relationship a lot. So she says, here is my maidservant Bilhah, come to her and have children on my knees, and then I will build from her. So what does this remind you of?
Of Sarah?
Sarah. But what's the difference? What's the difference between how Sarah did it and how Rachel is doing it?
So I build on my knees.
Okay, and what did Sarah say?
That after...
So Sarah said, Sarah was doing it because there were no kids.
Totally.
And she was doing it for Abraham's sake.
Yes.
Sarah was doing it so that Abraham could have kids because she felt that she was done. But Rachel is doing it
be'ibanegam anochi mimena. I'm going to
build from her. It seems like Rachel is doing it because Yaakov doesn't need kids at this point. He has kids from Leah. The promise of Abraham, the Zerah promise of Abraham is going to come true either way. So here, it seems to be more motivated by her. Yeah, for her own desire. And what we remember from Abraham is that the kids that come from, at least in Abraham's time, the kid that came from Hagar was not accepted. Now, that could have been because Hagar was Mitzrit, and we have a specific problem with Mitzrim. And Bilhah and Zilpah aren't as bad, which is probably maybe why the tribes are accepted. But it's not exactly clear if this is a good thing that she's doing or a bad thing that she's doing. Obviously, it contributes to having the 12 tribes.
I mean, the children of her became part of the tribes.
Yeah. But it's still unclear if is this perfectly kosher? Is this what God wants for kids to be born through midwives? Is that exactly what God wants? One more thing, I'll stop with this. One more thing. What was her complaint to Yaakov?
Rachel,
what was her real complaint to Yaakov? So, if you think about it, whenever Rivka could not give birth, what did Yitzchak do? Vayetar Yitzchak l'Adonai l'nochach ishto ki akarahi. That Yitzchak was praying to God regarding his wife because she was barren. But does Yaakov ever pray for Rachel? He does not.
No, it doesn't
say
anywhere.
So it could be that Rachel is frustrated and saying, could you also please
maybe
pray for me?
When she said that to Yaakov, give me children otherwise I'm dead, that meant, please, you pray for me. Maybe that was the instigation.
Yeah, I think there's truth to that. I think there may be truth to that. I mean, she doesn't know that Yitzchak prayed for Rivka, but there could have been some expectation. You come here, you're a representative of God, of the holy nation, of Abraham. Could you at least pray? We see that he does not. Very interesting to analyze these relationships. Bezer Hashem Sunday, there's so much to study. On Sunday, this is a long parasha.
We didn't even go halfway.
Yeah, we're not even halfway. So Bezer Hashem Sunday, we'll have to skim.
Okay, very good. You're always ready for Sunday.
Yes, Bezer Hashem. Baruch Adonai Olam.
Amen. Rabbi, thank you.